Welcome to PA Bible Study Night, a podcast for our church members to delve deeper into the scriptures together to grow in understanding and relationship with God. If you're a friend of the church or new to PA Bible, we're excited for you to join us. Tonight, we start a mini-series on the language of suffering in the Psalms of Lament, and how we can engage well with suffering and rightly bring our prayer and focus in these situations to God. Sam Pittenger leads us in tonight's study.
Well, we're going to begin in Psalm 13. And as I mentioned, we'll be looking at lament, and we're going to look at lament, which is the language of suffering, for the next few weeks. And lament is a regular part of the Psalms. It's full of this kind of speech, and we'll explore this over the next coming weeks. Tonight will be, like I said, a more brief overview. One source I was looking at said that there are 65 psalms that have laments. So if you do the math, there's 150 psalms. Divide that by two. We're getting pretty close to half the psalms containing lamentation of sorts. And that's because, obviously, life is filled with pains and troubles. And we live in a fallen and a broken world and in a corrupted place. And so the pains of those things are felt day by day by humans in the world. And the Psalms give us a variety of ways to express and articulate those things. So I want to read Psalm 13 to get our feet jumping in. This is one I use personally a lot. Verse 1, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." So this psalm opens up with, how long? It's a little bit different than how the Psalter ends with, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It's like a totally different tone, and yet it's in the same book. How long will you forget about me? Forever? How long will you hide from me, God? How long am I going to be so deeply grieved? All day? If you were God, and you're as wonderful and merciful and steadfast and faithful and holy and righteous and good as he is, you'd almost think you don't want this represented in what is called your word. You'd almost want this to not be involved, because this looks like somebody who might be doubting you or somebody who might be questioning your character. But this is actually exactly what God wants in the scripture, because he wants to show us how to trust him and where to start when we feel overwhelmed toward him. So lament is this language of sufferings. And it teaches us how to express distress well, or how to do it in a good way, in a godly way. When we don't know what to do, and we don't know where to go, and we don't know how to begin to even trust God, lament is actually a place that begins us well in that. So Psalm 13 doesn't start with, I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. It starts with lament, and lament leads to this heart that is being drawn closer to God. So he's going from, how long will you forget me for? To, I have trusted in your steadfast, your faithful love. And so true and right lament really starts us on the path of genuine trust and rest in God. It might feel like the opposite You might think, how could that be? But that's the relational aspect of knowing the one true God. That if the language of sufferings that he shows us how to express to him helps us to actually get on the path of that bountiful trust in his goodness. This is important because every single person faces trouble, faces sufferings. But it is actually people who lament that properly deal with them. Because when we lament in the way we see in the scripture, when we voice these distresses and give complaint to God, you're doing it toward God, which is important. You're doing it for God, mindful of him. And you're doing it with him, not apart from him. The natural tendency is to be what I would call unintentionally prideful. And instead of lamenting of these troubles and sufferings and issues and trials and pressures, ignoring them. And then if we ignore them before God, we will deal with them somewhere else. And that's why lament starts you on the path of trusting God. Because if I go over here with my distresses and my complaints, or I go over there with these sufferings, I will be dealing with these things somewhere else. And if it's not upward, it will either be inward or outward towards something else. Does that make sense? So this is all over the scripture. Many, many people complain about troubles. Many people complain about their sufferings. And few people complain to God about them. And God is saying, you can complain to me. And complain in these kind of ways that you see. And God answers in these ways, and he sees these sorts of things. Because God is actually, when we give our complaint or our trouble and our suffering, we express the distress, he's actually the one who can lift up our countenance. So the other way is ignoring it or dealing with it in some other outlet or source that isn't him. A couple things to note. Good lament, as I'll call it, doesn't stay as lament. It lands on trusting God, it lands on resting God, and it lands on praise of God. And we talked about that when we did the praise portion of this series. The end of the psalm lands on everything praise the Lord. And that's not because it just means put on your happy face and pretend like everything's okay. It's because a heart is drawn to give and extol God for his glorious excellence. So really, good lament doesn't just stay complain or stay in suffering forever. It leads us to trusting and praising God. Good lament is going to be honest and open before God. It's when you see this language of expressing sufferings, it's a fundamental awareness that God already sees and knows these things, which is really important. To not do it could intimate that I'm trying to hide something from him. And I don't believe that he really does see and know. And that's why I hear that all the time pastorally. They've got a complaint for me, but just don't think that God sees it at all. And so lament is that expression that God actually does see this. I actually trust that, okay, I might be saying how long, but who am I talking to? Him. And then good lament is going to draw us closer to God, not further away from God. Because lamenting is a process by which the heart is drawn from overwhelming problems that are just too much. How long will you forget about me? To a confident rest in God. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. So really, when you look at these Psalms of Lament, or like a book like Lamentations or read Job, or it's all through the scripture, it's teaching us how to suffer well, because you will suffer. How do you do it in a way that is God-honoring, that is relational with God, and that follows for us our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his suffering still loves his Father, right? Still obeys God. So lament is actually teaching us to do that well, rather than maybe ignoring it, stuffing it down, or going to some other source to fill that. In some ways, what's good to know about lament is lament's also not trying to fix the problem. So it doesn't mean, like, when we get to Psalm 88, it's just sad the whole time. There's nothing, it's not like Psalm 13, where at the end he says, I'm going to sing, the Lord is, dealt bountifully with me. Sometimes it's just dark. And again, there can be prolonged seasons of this. So the point of lament is not to get your quick fix and you felt better. You know, Psalm 13 goes from how long to God has dealt bountifully with me in 6 verses. But what that is in a season of life, it's hard to say, right? So this lament generally, and I have this long introduction and then we're doing Psalm 6, so it's, don't worry. It's that passionate expression of sorrow or grief. And it's not something we're even used to in our culture. It's something that would have been very common in ancient culture, where, you know, you read in scripture a lot, sackcloth, fasting, you know, certain things that they would physically do to communicate an inward grief, like changing their clothing into rough clothing and covering themselves in a way that showed that they were grieving and mourning. In some more recent cultures, you guys remember It's a Wonderful Life? Jimmy Stewart and does his dad die? Is that what happens? Anyway, he wears a black band around his suit jacket. And it was just an expression of, this is a person who's grieving. So for a lot of cultures, they had these ways to express sackcloth and ashes. For us in our modern culture, you just look at the face and it looks the same as it did yesterday. And the turmoil that's going on the inside is not necessarily expressed on the outside. So we're not used to this. Instead, we'll more so, like, if there's trouble, we'll distract ourselves, right? Like most people's lament is at the television. We'll, you know, drink it away, we'll eat it away, we'll work it away, we'll do something that doesn't deal with it. And that's where you get into those avenues of, you know, trusting some other source. And when these difficult circumstances arrive in our lives, then we have these sort of false helps that we pour our complaint into, rather than a true help that we pour our complaint into. And that's what you see with the psalmist. They have a true help that they're expressing their complaint, their suffering to. And so scripture is filled with these laments because they do more than just express that someone is sad or someone is suffering. They do more than just express that there's pain or troubles. That's almost like completely understood in the human condition, or should be. They're reminders of truth. So even as you're reading Psalm 13, and if you know the truth and you know Yahweh, the God of gods, right? You know him as the one true God, and you hear someone saying, how long will you forget me? Your heart should be stirring already that God does not forget his people, right? So those expressions, even in of themselves, they're reminders of what is true, expressed in a way that shows there's a struggle here. And that's not a negative thing. That's actually a really helpful part of getting on the path of trusting and exalting in God. And that's partially how, lamenting is partially how you do trust God through difficulty. When you read these psalms and you see these laments, there's expressions of doubt, where they doubt God, where they're hurt, where they're fearful, where they're in trouble, where there's trials, where they've sinned. We looked at sin and repentance, right, and forgiveness. Where there's worries, where there's anxieties, where there's general sufferings. And this is not promoting those things as good or what God necessarily wants for their heart, but it is showing that they're real things. And we will face all these kind of issues because they are common to human beings. Suffering is common to human beings. Jesus came as the man of sorrows to identify with the human condition. And so, because they're unavoidable, because they are a part of the human condition in a fallen, broken place, it's how we deal with them that really matters, not that we deal with them. Assume the person next to you is facing sufferings and trials. Assume they have troubles. Assume that they are dealing with some sort of thing that is part of being a part of this corrupt place. But how we deal with them, the Psalms are teaching us this, to voice these things to God, to cry out to him, to seek his help, and to ultimately remember his character and his goodness. So When you see this lament, lament is not a lack of faith. Psalm 13, written by David, David didn't lack faith in God. Instead, it's an indication of his human condition. And he's expressing that he's actually seeking God in a difficulty. So at one point, when I would read these Psalms when I was younger, I would read it and I wouldn't understand it because I would think there was just something wrong with those writers. Like, almost like, why did God include this? Like, I get Psalm 150, praise the Lord, but why Psalm 88? Why Psalm 13? And you sometimes can view that in a lens of, well, that's just for people who aren't trusting God, because there also is joy, right? And joy and sorrow go together. There's a little paradoxical. There are both these things. So I used to view it that way, like, it's just something wrong with that guy. And then as, you know, my troubles increased and I was not a child and I started to see the world is filled with suffering and, oh, okay, all of a sudden you start to see that kind of thinking is incredibly dangerous and will actually lead you to not trusting God. It will lead you to trusting something else, somewhere else, rather than him. And that's why lament, again, it's that path of trusting God. It's part of that process of a heart before God in relationship with him. So when we see these laments, it's teaching us that all of our troubles, pressures, sorrows, and distresses, we don't need to hide from him. He already knows, but we can be trusting him completely with all of our heart. Whether that's the highest heights of let everything that has breath praise the Lord, Lord, to the lowest lows of how long will you forget me? And pouring out that hurt and pouring out that complaint is one of the ways we begin to do that. So as we look at these, and we're getting to Psalm 6, don't worry. These laments are written by different people in different circumstances at different times. Some are written by the same people, but they have some common themes. And three major ones that you'll see is a lot of times they begin with crying out to God. Then they ask for help. And then they respond in trust and praise. So we're kind of getting progression of their heart toward God. And it starts with this crying out. And that's what we saw with Psalm 13. How long? So they come before God while the tears are still streaming, right? Not afterward, not after they figured it all out, not after the situation resolved, but while it's still streaming, while the tears are still there. They're not cleaning up the messiness of their lives before they approach God's throne, but instead they voice the depths of the pain with this vivid expression of crying out. The one we'll see in Psalm 6, he says, I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. That's some deep pain, some deep sorrow. And then in crying out, then you often see them asking for help. So the lament doesn't stay simply an expression of some suffering. It is a move toward God and asking for help where God would rescue them, that he would relieve their pain. And you'll see them express this like Psalm 34, this poor man cried and the Lord answered me and he delivered me out of all my troubles, right? He cried, he asked for help, and God did answer. And there is another end or another side of that story. But what you'll see is sort of what I'll say is their God desperateness. And that's a good thing. So when the complaint is coming, when the sorrowful expression is coming, so there's this desperateness for God's help. Often if you hear a complaint from person and then you try to turn them to God and they just are resistant, I usually like to tell them, I don't think you've gotten desperate enough yet. Like until we realize I'm so desperate that my only hope is you, is upward, that's really that asking for help and that seeking of direction. So you'll see them get desperate in a very good way. And then finally, like Psalm 13, you see the response of trust, praise, or confident rest in God. A lot of times accompanied by his previous acts of mercies and powers and goodness and faithfulness. And they're crying out to God and they're remembering who God is. And in this, they're receiving peace, comfort, resolution from God, and they're worshiping God in it. So we'll get to like Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And at the end of that psalm, he's saying, my soul is still cast down. It's still disquieted within me, but hope in God, and I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So it starts with a how long, and it moves toward often this hope in God. Even if he hasn't acted yet, I remember who he is. So when we're reading these things, we can know God cares for us. We can come to God with tears and awe in the midst of sufferings, in the midst of sorrows, not waiting till we've got it all figured out or till we have some solution, but in the ugly mess of it and with an approach to God that this is part of the pathway of showing a troubled soul that wants to trust in him. Sadly, last thought before we go to Psalm 6. Sadly, for many people, if they don't know how to express this or how to lament, then they usually just turn away from God in their trouble. They feel overburdened and overwhelmed, and they feel forgotten by God. And then that actually shakes their whole faith. And Satan uses this. Trials and troubles that would go after our faith overall, right? And so often people get so overburdened and so troubled that the last place they think they can turn or want to turn is actually to God. And they go the opposite way, where they can't even pray. I can't pray. I just can't do it. It's too heavy. I can't open my Bible. It's just too much. I cannot assemble with God's people. It's too much. And it literally, they go the opposite way. But healthy, good lament toward God doesn't help us feel alienated from God. It actually introduces God into our sorrows. And that's the beautiful point of it. Introducing God into these sorrows, knowing that he hears us, he sees us, and then that troubled soul will be helped by him. So again, that sort of getting desperate for him, that desperateness of heart, that in the most overwhelmed place, that is where I most need God and I'm willing to turn. Maybe I don't have much to say. It's a crying out. It's a, Lord, help me. But it's not a turning from him. And so often you see the opposite, unfortunately. And that's partially because culture, it's partially because people don't know that this is okay. They don't know that God is inviting us before him to express these things before him and gives us all this opportunity to pray these prayers so that we can have him before us and us before him in this sorrow. So Psalm 6, we'll do this and we'll do part of Psalm 55 just to get a little taste of this. And then again, we'll just be doing a few of these different kinds of laments over the next few weeks. But I just wanted to give us a high level. That's it. Promise, that's it for the introduction. High level for the next couple weeks so that we keep these in mind as we go. This is David in Psalm 6. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. We don't know the occasion of the situation, but David seems to sense that he's under the rebuke of God. So he may have caused whatever we're going to look at here through his own sort of wrongdoing. And yet, he seeks God, right? Verse 2, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. O Lord, how long? So he needs mercy. He says he is weak. He says he needs to be healed down to the very core of him, to his bones. They're vexed. They're disturbed. And so is his soul. Now, a lot of people that might view that and go, well, this guy just isn't believing in God, or he's not trusting God. But really, God's showing us it's not that at all. He's expressing what is true about where he is and approaching God for the help he needs, which is trusting God. It's just part of that process of the heart. And he's saying, Lord, how long? Ever feel like how long with something? Sometimes it's the little things, and sometimes it's the big things. How long, O Lord? And how long, that's a common cry in the scriptures. We saw it in Psalm 13. It opens with how long. And this is why we cannot always clearly see what God is doing. Bottom line, God's ways are so much higher, and so much of it is things that we can't clearly put our finger on. But we can trust his character. And so this how long, it's because with our limited perspective, we just are not seeing all of what God may be doing or not doing. And it can feel like a how long. And sometimes when we ask how long, we get answers we don't like as well. I use Psalm 13. It's actually a regular psalm I use for lament because it just speaks to me. So I use that one quite often. And I've asked that question, how long, especially through Psalm 13. And sometimes gotten answers from God that gave me immediate relief. And sometimes I've gotten answers that how long is going to be a lot longer. And that also brought relief. Because there are certain sorts of things, and we'll see them in the Psalms. Some of these how longs, I mean, it's just going to keep going. There is a day. There is a time. God makes all things new and everything right. But this expression of how long allows God to be speaking to your heart to give you strength for whatever it is. Maybe it's short. Maybe it's long. God knows how long. So he says, how long, O Lord? Then he says, turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love, that appeal in his vexation. He's crying out to God, O Lord, deliver me. For in death there's no remembrance you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? This is it's serious. You know, death is in the picture. How am I going to thank you if I'm in the grave? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. He's exhausted. His bed is flooded with tears. In all of this, he's sleepless because of his trouble. And again, he's saying, how long? How long can this go on? How long will this be? My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all of my foes or enemies. Then he says, depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Remember, lament is not just expressions of distress. It is reminder of truth, right? And here he says that the Lord has heard the sound of his weeping, and the Lord has heard his plea. The Lord accepts, he hears my prayer. And this teaches us a beautiful thing about God's heart. God accepts the lament of prayer. God accepts the sorrows and complaints of prayers. God sees weeping. Sometimes you might not even be able to speak. And weeping is a form of expression before God. He sees and knows and understands. And the psalmist here is going, how long? How long? How long? I can't keep going like this. But he finds respite in that during the strife, God has still heard. He feels seen by God. Now, what would have happened had he not expressed this lament? Not expressed this honestly and openly before God? You know, the distance he feels from God probably would have gotten larger. Right? The silence from heaven probably would have sounded like, eventually, total silence. And generally what happens then, when I feel like God has been silent, am I keep going to him? Or is it, I go somewhere else for answers? That's generally what happens. So these laments are that process of trusting and resting in God. It's still drawing us to God. It's just drawing us to God in a real place and on a place of the hurts or the pains or the sufferings that we might be in. Just to put this out there, God is not stingy. So if we have a concept where we go to God in a certain way that presents ourselves as worthy of his care, we will deceive ourselves into thinking that these sorts of prayers are not prayers we should be praying, because it will show our weakness before God. That can be a human tendency where we just kind of think God is stingy with his blessings. God is stingy with his care. I've just got to show enough, posture enough faith, or that I'm ready or willing or able to receive of him, instead of what this is, which is just put it all out there and remember that he sees and hears that and he's got answers for that. So one is more honest. The other one is can get us into a place where we're just thinking that God is more like a stingy God that doesn't want to help us. So if we showed this side of ourselves, he really wouldn't want us anymore. And those kind of thoughts creep in there, right? We do that with people. You don't want to tell somebody your problem because what if they knew, they'd never think of you the same. No, we do that with God too, even though he actually already does. No. So he knows what's going to happen with his enemies. He's seen it before, and he's looking forward to it again. In verse 10, he says, "All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment." So the situation itself doesn't resolve, but it's cleared. This grieving and wearied psalmist knows that God has heard him and that God has accepted his prayer. Again, there's nothing wrong with this psalmist. There's nothing wrong with the heart. There's many psalms like these that show how this helps us in the process of turning our hearts to God, trusting and resting in him. Let's go to Psalm 55. This will be where we close. And there's much more to all this than what we're talking about tonight. And we'll discover that in the next few weeks. But this is, again, a little taste of these things. Psalm 55, we'll read some of this psalm. Verse 1, it says, "Give ear to me, or give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me, answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan." Again, he's seeking God enough that he would moan and make complaint about it. He keeps calling out, and now he's moaning and complaining, so to speak. And this is his desperate, direct plea. Answer me. Attend to me. Hear my pleas. Because this is going to describe this situation of betrayal and rebellion that the psalmist was facing. "Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me." So he's terrified, and he's in anguish. I once heard somebody say that they've never been afraid in their life, and I thought, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard. If you weren't afraid, you'd be dead already, because you would go off a cliff, or God built some things into us to keep us alive. Like, we're not supposed to go straight into a fire. There's a sort of healthy reticence to danger. And this psalmist is, again, you could take the approach of, I'm not scared. I know how to handle these armies. I'm David. I know. Don't you remember Goliath? I did this. I killed all these guys. I got my mighty men. I'm not afraid of anything. It's the exact opposite. He's like, I'm absolutely terrified. I am really suffering. I'm moaning out loud. I am complaining. Please hear this. I am desperate. He's not saying, everything's cool here. I got this. Just me and my trusty sword. Instead, fear and trembling in verse 5, come upon me. Horror overwhelms me. So okay, he's pouring out this, expressing the suffering. And I say, this is what he'd like to do. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. Selah. I would hurry to find shelter from the raging wind and tempest. I think I relate to this. He'd rather than deal with it, just kind of escape, right? Like, I'd rather be a bird. You know, it's like, I'd rather click on that TV. I'd rather get to the bottom of that ice cream container. I'd rather go distract myself at this. You know, I'd rather be a bird and fly away. Verse 16. Instead, he does this. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. And that's the difference between that building of a relationship, right? Totally overwhelmed, terrified, in pain and suffering, would love to flee from this thing, just want it to be over. How long? But this, instead, I'll keep calling to God. The Lord, my confidence is in the Lord. He will save me. You know, what if he didn't go to God with this complaint? What if he had internalized this or sought help from people or distractions or from his own, you know, industriousness? But his prayer has been the process from this complaint to confidence. Isn't that beautiful? Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He hears me all day long. Again, stay desperate for God. So often when people are at their lowest, they can barely pray. God wants what you've got wherever you're at. So yes, it's a moan, it's a complaint, it's weeping. Maybe it's not words, maybe it's grunts and sighs, but it's before God. Have you ever sighed before God? Right? It's you're not even able to express, but he can see, he knows, he understands the heart of man. And so all day, he just keeps pouring this out before God instead of the other way of I can barely approach God, and so I will approach and trust in something else. And this is what God does. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them. He who is enthroned of old, see, it's a reminder of truth. God's still on the throne. Selah. Because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion, this is his betrayer, stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. And he will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. So whatever these guys are doing, they're going to do. And God will deal with it, but I will trust in you. And cast your burden on the Lord. So once you take the burden from yourself and you put it upon God, then who carries the burden? God. That's the point. So this prayer is a painful, lamenting prayer, but this prayer is the psalmist trusting God and casting his burden upon him. That is what he's doing. He's trusting in God through this prayer. And God will sustain you. He will sustain you and help you. So as we're seeing here, this lament is not staying as lament alone. The lament is leading into trust and rest. And that's because it's a real relationship. There's not a pretending between God and you, but honesty and open heart. And this kind of godly lament is drawing us closer to God, not further away. And it's the process by which our heart is drawn away from overwhelming fears and troubles and problems and into restful confidence in God's care. And lament is so often the beginning of the Psalms, and so it is so often the beginning of that road to trusting God in real time, in clarity and with peace. And again, these things are teaching us how to suffer well, because we will face sufferings. So how do you do it in a way that is good for the soul, that is God exalting, that is God honoring, that is with God, for God, and toward God? And the Psalms are teaching us that. So we'll be looking at this for the next few weeks, but this is what I wanted to share about lament tonight.
Thanks for joining us for our Psalm series. Next time, we'll continue looking at the Psalms of Lament in the process of journeying through weeping to joy. At PA Bible, we welcome you to join us in gospel-centered, scripturally devoted fellowship as we make much of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.